Tom Woods Show, episode 1956.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, the Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, the amazing libertarian family that runs Cheeky Maiden Soap crafts affordable all-natural bar soaps, aluminum-free deodorants, hair care, laundry soaps, household cleaners, and more. Non-toxic ingredients throughout all their products, and you will love the enormous variety of all the different soaps that can do all different things for you. For a limited time, take 25% off your order with code WOODS at CheekyMaidenSoap.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. I'm going to talk a little bit today about these vaccine passports that we're seeing implemented in various places and what's going on with them. There is a little bit of good news, I can say. There are a couple of cases in which systems like this have been introduced and then gotten rid of, if you can believe that. That actually has happened, and I want to talk about that today. But I'm sure you've been following the news. You know what these things consist of, and we have some people on our site who say we shouldn't call them vaccine passports. We should call them human movement passes or whatever. And I'm all for calling it whatever is most sinister sounding, because it is sinister. The way it works is this. In New York City, for example, you have to show proof of vaccination, that you got at least one dose of one of the COVID vaccines, in order to do the following things. I'm actually going to read them all to you because I want you to understand this is pretty much anything worth doing in New York City. So in order to get into any of these places I'm about to read to you, you need to show proof of vaccination. So movie theaters, live music, concert venues, museums and galleries, aquariums and zoos, professional sports arenas, stadiums, convention centers, exhibition halls, performing arts theaters, bowling alleys, arcades, pool and billiard halls, recreational game centers, casinos, adult entertainment, restaurants, catering halls, event spaces, hotel banquet rooms, bars, cabarets, nightclubs, cafeterias, grocery stores with indoor dining, bakeries, coffee shops, fast food / quick service with indoor dining, gyms, fitness centers, fitness classes, pools, indoor studios, dance studios, and sports classes. You can't do any of those things unless you hand a card or some digital thing to some schmo at each one of these places. Now, let's try to figure out what the logic behind this is. I'm sure a superficial observer simply thinks, well, the unvaccinated are dangerous to me, a vaccinated person, because I could get a breakthrough infection, which are maybe not as common as people think, but they're more common than we thought they'd be when the vaccines were initially sold to us. That's certainly the case. So the unvaccinated are going around spreading COVID to everybody, and the vaccinated are not. And so obviously, for the sake of public health, then we need to exclude unvaccinated people from these indoor spaces. And this will protect the health of those who have been responsible enough to get vaccinated. And it may encourage the unvaccinated finally to give up their quixotic fight against vaccination and just go ahead and do it. The problem with this is there are multiple problems with this. As we now know, being vaccinated now does not actually prevent you from getting the virus. And they told us that it probably wouldn't mean that. It doesn't prevent you from getting seriously ill or being hospitalized. Now, we've heard that vaccinated people are less likely to get very sick or be hospitalized. But again, far more likely than we thought they'd be when the vaccines were initially sold to us. I don't think that it doesn't matter to me what your opinion on the vaccination is for the sake of what I'm saying today. But we can all be honest enough to admit that, yeah, that when we heard about the numbers and the success rate of these vaccines, that nobody was expecting quite this result. But the key thing here is that you can still spread the virus even if vaccinated. And that's what the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, said on television a couple of weeks ago. She said that the vaccines are doing a terrific job keeping serious illness and hospitalizations at bay, she said. But one thing it can no longer do is stop transmission. So she said that, not Woods. She said that. And I think at this point, you know, you don't need me to tell you that. You probably all, everybody listening to me already knows that. But if the vaccinated can also spread the virus, then what is the point of excluding the unvaccinated from society? And to me, I think it's being done in a spirit of vengeance. I think it's political figures who tried to twist people's arms to get the vaccines, and I think they want to punish people who didn't. I think it's based on hate. I think it's part of a plan to divide society against itself. And what's interesting, too, is that the chief epidemiologist of Iceland, and he's got an unpronounceable name, but they actually just refer to him as the epidemiologist. If you read any Icelandic newspapers, which I assume probably most of you do not, but if you were to do so, you would find that he is referred to simply as the epidemiologist. Said, as I noted in my newsletter and on this program not too long ago, that given these vaccines, which he says, again, in his view, have done a lot to help certain people, there's no way you're going to get to herd immunity with vaccines like this. So he said that basically we need a different strategy now, now that we can see that vaccination is not, in fact, our way out. So it's going to have to be that chances are you're going to get this virus. It's just nothing we can do about that. Chances are you're going to get it, is what he was implicitly saying. And what he was explicitly saying was, we have to just let the virus run and try to protect people who are most at risk of being really harmed by it. And then I wrote in my newsletter not long ago, you should be getting my newsletter, by the way. You can hop on there a lot of different ways, tomwoods.com, right toward the top of the website, there's a way to hop on. You can also get my ebook about all the ways AOC is wrong. And you think, I already know Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is wrong. I don't need to read Woods' crummy ebook, but hang on just a minute here. You probably don't have all the facts and figures at your fingertips, but you will after reading this. And in addition to reading it, you get put on my email newsletter list, and that none of this costs you anything. AOCiswrong.com. AOCiswrong.com is how to get on there. Anyway, I mentioned that the scientists who are advising the government in the UK have basically come to a similar conclusion. The Telegraph, a major newspaper in the UK, said this: Public Health England has shown that when vaccinated people catch the virus, they have a similar viral load to unvaccinated individuals and may be as infectious. Andrew Pollard, who led the Oxford vaccine team, said, we don't have anything that will stop transmission. So I think we're in a situation where herd immunity is not a possibility. And so, according to the Telegraph, these experts were trying to figure out how Britain could start to live with COVID. And part of the way to do that was to end mass testing and to stop monitoring people who have mild symptoms or no symptoms. And even, as Paul Hunter put it, he's a professor of medicine at the University of East Anglia, said that the obsession with cases has to be abandoned. He says, what matters are people who are sick because of COVID. He says, otherwise, we're going to be frightening ourselves with very high numbers that actually don't translate into disease burden. Now, getting back to the vaccine passport thing, so the logic of it doesn't seem to hold up, but I can think of numerous reasons that somebody might not want to take this vaccine, any of them, that are not unreasonable. First of all, there are people like me who've had the virus and recovered. And we, at this point, have a pretty substantial amount of evidence that the immunity you get from natural infection is longer lasting than what you get from vaccination. So that's the first thing. So to say that I would have to go get vaccinated after I've already had the virus is not reasonable. So that's the first thing. So why are you making me do something that I don't need to do? So therefore, it's all downside for me. Yes, it may be that in terms of absolute numbers, I have a relatively low risk of any side effect, but it's not zero. And since I don't need the vaccine in the first place, I'm therefore subjecting myself for no reason to a possibility, however remote, that I might harm myself. Some harm might come to me. So there's the first thing to consider. Second thing is, there are a lot of people, for a lot of health reasons, cannot take the vaccine. There'd be no doctor on earth who would tell them to take one of these vaccines. And so that means, well, there are no exceptions made for those people. They can't live in society anymore. They can't have a job because chances are in a lot of these cases, they're going to have vaccine mandates on the job. That's really how we want to live. We want to live like this. And then thirdly, there are people who just don't want to do it. I don't want this thing injected into my body. And some people may have good, informed reasons for this, and some people may have preposterous reasons for this. But it's their body. And if they're generally, in fact, frightened or at least deeply concerned about having this injected into them, and you want to, in effect, force them down and inject it anyway, which is really what you're doing by taking away their means of making a living and taking away their ability to interact with people, you're just a bad person. I don't know what else to say. And given that, according to more and more people, we can't reach herd immunity with these vaccines anyway. So if you were thinking, well, the reason we're still in this is that we have all these unvaccinated people, that's not right. Now, speaking of livelihoods, I want to read you a short email I received from a nurse practitioner. This was, well, by the time you hear this, 6 days ago. I've been entertained by your emails for the past year and want to thank you for bringing light to a lot of craziness in our world. I'm a nurse practitioner doing acute care in a very rural area in Idaho. I've been the respiratory provider since last March 2020. I'm also one of 3 providers out of 15 who refused to get the COVID vaccine. Of course, the threats and bribes have been made to all of us, plus the 50% of our staff, nurses, medical assistants, unit clerks, admin staff, who have also refused. I tested positive for COVID last November. I experienced very mild nasal congestion, as did the remainder of my immediate and extended family. In the last couple of months, I continue to get positive results on countless people who are vaccinated. The masks continue to do nothing, as you have provided evidence for again and again. Last week, one of my coworkers, a physician who relocated here from Massachusetts, was overheard telling one of our nurses that she didn't think patients who had not been vaccinated should be treated in our hospital. Gasp. I have been a nurse for 25 years and a nurse practitioner for 11. I never imagined I would dread going to work, or worse, fear I won't be able to persevere another 12 years until I can retire. I also treat vaccinated and unvaccinated patients the same, regardless of their choices. Why? Because I am a compassionate human being who went into healthcare to serve others. All right, before we go on, let me say a few quick words for the extremely good people at the Cheeky Maiden Soap Company. If you've ever wondered to yourself, what kind of soap does Old Woods use? Well, Old Woods uses Cheeky Maiden Soap. They are truly artists when it comes to soap because they can perfectly blend a few oils to get just the right lather, cleansing, and scent. They formulate all their products to be non-toxic, even down to the laundry soap and household cleaners they make. They also produce aluminum-free deodorants, hair care products, and more. They're a family-run business, and they happen to be a libertarian family. Cheeky Maiden can also make custom soaps for events and businesses. Now that you're an adult, it's time to switch to adult soap. And for a limited time, take 25% off your order with code WOODS at CheekyMaidenSoap.com. That's CheekyMaidenSoap.com. Now, I want to mention some things about this kind of vaccine passport program in several places about which you might not know the details. I want to talk about, well, actually 2 places. I want to talk about Guam, where they just introduced such a scheme, but also Denmark, where they're getting ready to abandon their own passport system. So I want to talk about both of those. But before I do that, I want to make clear just how strongly I believe in the principle involved here. And in order to do that, I'm going to tell you something that involves my personal life. Now, sometimes I talk about my personal life. You know, I mention my kids every now and then, and I talk about places where I've traveled, or I shared with you the fact that I was ill. Not every podcaster would do that. I might have just said I was on vacation or something, but I do that, and I kind of like that sometimes I get emails from people who say, you know, I feel like I know you. I feel like I am not just getting information from you, but I feel like I know you, right? Not just as a mouthpiece for, you know, libertarianism or something, but actually as a human being. So I'm going to continue like that. I didn't realize that I was doing that, but apparently that is how people feel about Old Woods here. So I'm going to tell you something. If you're one of my Facebook friends, and they have a 5,000 friend limit, so chances are you're not one of my Facebook friends. Let's see, I guess it would only be Facebook, wouldn't it? Huh. Well, if you're one of my Facebook friends or you're one of my very close friends, you already know what I'm about to tell you, which is that next year, 2022, I'm getting married. Now, I know some of you will say, well, I thought Woods was already married. Yeah. And occasionally I've even seen that in comment sections. And I feel like, well, I guess you were wrong. So how about not talking about things you know nothing about? Here's the very, very brief gist of it, and then I'll explain what this has to do with anything. We did everything we could to hold that relationship together. You got to believe me, absolutely every possible thing. But after so much sorrow and grief and tremendous effort on both sides, we could not make it work. And I know my friends and listeners out there trust me and trust my judgment. But for anyone who needs to know, before I continue, the proper canonical norms have, of course, been observed. And those of you who understand what that means know why I said that. So without really thinking about it, I just more or less assumed I'd probably remain single for the rest of my life after that. And I suppose I could have been happy enough that way. And that's pretty much what I'd been doing for about 4 years, in fact. But in 2019, something quite unexpected happened. And my life took a very sudden and dramatic turn for the better because I got to know Jenna, who's been mentioned from time to time on the show mysteriously. People went, who is this Jenna? Well, she is the wonderful woman I am indeed marrying in 2022. Now, if you want more details about that, if you're a nosy person like me, you can read the post that I wrote about it at, let's make it tomwoods.com/married. Why not? tomwoods.com/married. Let's do that if you want to read more about that. Well, anyway, our original plan was to get married in New York City because New York, you know, for all its faults, and I know it's got a lot of faults, but New York has meant a lot to me over the years. Just for a lot of reasons, just the people I've gotten to know, the friendships I've made when I was there in graduate school. I lived in New York City for 5 years, and there's just so much about it. There were times when I was just in a bad spot in my life, and I would fly to New York and spend a few days there, and just the energy of the city. I'd walk around at night, and there'd be all this energy. It was like it was electric, and it would rejuvenate me, and now I'm shut out of it. Because of this ridiculous passport system, and it's extremely disorienting. Well, anyway, so the plan was we're going to get married in New York City and have our reception at the Harvard Club of New York. Well, the Harvard Club of New York is a venue. It's a catering hall. It's an event space. So it falls under the Key to NYC plan of Mayor Bill de Blasio. And so I would have to ask the vaccination status of all my guests. Not to mention my own is be another problem. The groom can't get in. So what could I do? I had to forfeit the deposit. And it's a big deposit. I mean, for me anyway. And I don't want to be lectured to about spending too much on weddings. That's your own personal opinion. I have my own personal opinion on what is reasonable to spend. But we had a deposit for the Harvard Club. We had a deposit for the wedding planner. And at least one other deposit. So we're talking about, I have forfeited $20,000 rather than go along with this, rather than say to my guests, make sure you bring your papers. I won't do that, even though it really, 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 really hits me in the pocketbook. I won't do it. So then we thought about, why don't we get married in Boston? Because Boston is comes in second. I have a lot of sentimental attachment to Boston because I grew up about 30 to 40 minutes away. And there are a lot of things I love about the city of Boston. And a lot of you no doubt heard what the Boston mayor had to say about vaccine passports. She said that there's just no way we're doing it. It's like the papers you had to show after slavery. It would disproportionately hurt minorities and all this stuff. And I thought, wow, okay, no vaccine passport in Boston. Well, it's a long story, but apparently it's a special election for the mayor this year because the sitting mayor got a job in the Biden administration. So the current mayor is just the acting mayor until they can elect a new one this very year in November. And basically all of her opponents favor the vaccine passport system. And it is not a guarantee that she's going to be reelected. If she were ahead by 50 points in the polls, then I would say, let's go ahead and do the event in Boston. But she's in second and it's tight. She might still win, but you know how weddings are. You have a million things to plan. Time is of the essence. I can't sit around waiting for the election and then you have to wait for the new mayor to actually take office and then see what happens. We just can't take that chance either. So there's a second thing we want to do we can't do. So therefore, we're going to reward Florida for being normal and for not doing any of this. And yep, I will say I am going to splurge on this because it's something I want to do. And all that dough, with the exception of the deposits, but the actual dough is going to go to Floridians. Bill de Blasio will not see 1 cent of any of that. So we're going to be married in Florida. So there you go. So that's how it's affected me, even though I don't even live in a place that has an arrangement like that. So let me say something about Guam. So Guam just introduced, just today, as you're hearing this, August 23rd, 2021, a vaccine passport system where you need to produce a vaccine card or some equivalent in order, again, to do really much of anything, just like that New York City program that I mentioned. And by the way, this is also happening in San Francisco. New Orleans has a similar one, although you can also get by with a negative test in New Orleans. Los Angeles intends to implement something like this. But Guam is particularly savage because not only can unvaccinated people not do any of those things, they're not even allowed to socialize. Can you believe this? They can't socialize. They can't go to the same social gatherings with vaccinated people. So this is how confident these people are in their vaccines. We can't even have you standing near us. That's how flimsy our vaccines must be. I mean, I don't understand. They must lack confidence in the vaccines is all I can think for them to act like this. And then vaccinated people themselves are now limited to gatherings of no more than 100. So that means, what, there are a million things now you can't do and have to be indefinitely canceled. So that's going on in Guam. Now, on the other hand, I reported, again, in my newsletter, that back in June in Moscow, they introduced a plan in Moscow whereby you had to show vaccination status to get into restaurants. Now, what's interesting, by the way, is that in Europe, when they've done stuff like this or when they've had requirements to get into the country, you know, for foreigners, they've generally accepted not just proof of vaccination, but also a negative test or proof of natural immunity from natural infection. They accept that too, which also was the case for going into restaurants. You know, whereas in New York City, apparently previous infection doesn't count for anything because we're not supposed to talk about natural immunity. That's forbidden. Only vaccines count. So anyway, they had this program in Moscow. You have to show your status to get into a restaurant. Well, the restaurants, of course, were getting killed. I mean, why wouldn't they? Who's going to do that? I mean, I suppose some people will, but a lot of people won't. A month later, they withdrew it. It lasted a month. Well, Denmark has had, as part of its reopening strategy, a Corona Pass. And again, it's all three of these things. It shows either you've been vaccinated, you've had a recent negative test, or you've recovered after a natural infection. And they've had a roadmap for gradually dropping all the various measures and restrictions that they had implemented. So they've already been moving away from masking, and including on public transportation. But as we get into September and by October 1st, their plan is also to scrap the Corona Pass entirely, just get rid of it. So in case you're overwhelmed with despair, I want you to be aware of that example. They are actually getting rid of it. Now, before you get too optimistic, I want to read you something else. And this is a note I received from an American who works in the Philippines. Now, I admit, I did not realize that the situation in the Philippines is as bad as it is. But I want you to hear this. And I did put excerpts from this in my newsletter, but I want to read this to you in its entirety. Dear Tom, I'm writing to thank you for your emails and all the work you've done over the past year and a half. I was a listener of your show even before the COVID crisis, and I cannot put into words how that's a nice compliment. So I'll just go on to the next paragraph. I know you're a busy man and spend most of your day engulfed in email correspondence, but recently I felt compelled to write to you to outline the situation where I currently reside as an American expat in the Philippines. He says, my wife and I are teachers at an international school here in Manila. We enjoyed our summer off back in the U.S. and Italy, where my wife is from, breathing fresh air, taking our young son to the playground, going out for ice cream, you know, all the normal things that human beings do that we haven't been able to do over the past year because of the draconian restrictions imposed by the Philippine government. It certainly was a breath of fresh air. Despite all the madness going on in both the U.S. and Italy right now, I am still green with envy at the freedoms enjoyed by the people living in those places. It jarred my brain to meet people this summer who have never had to submit to multiple PCR tests. You can imagine our morale as we returned to Manila a few weeks ago. We're contractually bound by our job. Here in the Philippines, it's as if time stopped in April of last year. Still, you must wear both a face mask and shield when you leave your house. Still, children under 18 and senior citizens are technically not allowed to leave their houses. Although this summer that loosened up a bit, but after 2 weeks, Delta put an end to that. Still, schools are closed. Still, you must have a negative PCR/antigen test to travel to the next province, book a flight, or stay a night in a hotel. Still, gyms, theaters, cultural institutions, and outdoor sites, such as the American Memorial Cemetery, a cemetery, are closed. Still, upon entering every shop or workplace, one is subjected to a temperature check and a contact tracing form. Still, most restaurants are takeout or reduced to 50% capacity. Still, people think that if everyone just gets the vaccine, COVID will just go away and all of this will be over. Still, what is considered the longest lockdown in the world continues. Indeed, what is happening in places like France and Australia is very alarming. But it is frustrating to see that the Philippines is never acknowledged for its continued brutish restrictions that have been imposed as a result of the de facto martial law that has reigned over this country since all of this began. At least in other places, people are beginning to question the narrative. There isn't even a shred of that here. People are too scared of the government. Here in Manila, we finished our 2-week hotel quarantine and went right into a hard lockdown, the third here since all this began in March 2020. Once again, due to the so-called Delta variant, citizens are expected to remain at home for 2 weeks, a tired trope by now, and may only exit their residences for essential items with a quarantine pass, one per household. Outdoor exercise was allowed until yesterday, but the authorities probably got spooked into banning it when they saw people still outside enjoying themselves or trying to be healthy and not cowering in fear at home. Naturally, only essential workers are allowed to leave their homes to go to work, and because teachers are somehow included in that category, I consider myself lucky to be able to leave the house. Our 4-year-old son, however, isn't so lucky. Our students are beginning the school year virtually, so you can imagine student and teacher morale. Most likely, the current round of hard lockdown will carry on until at least October. They always start out with 2 weeks, but then extend it by a month or more. It's always one step forward, 5 steps back here. I'm sure we'll get 2 weeks of loosened restrictions in November before the government panics about people wanting to be human for Christmas and then walks everything back. I suppose what is particularly frustrating about this round of house arrest is that the government didn't even try to justify it with rising cases. It was just, we could have over 10,000 cases a day because we have Delta now and we don't want the hospitals to be overrun. Reading the local news, the screeching about rising cases, and the daily death toll that characterized previous stay-at-home lockdowns is conspicuously absent. Instead, the headlines praise the improved vaccine rollout, which until recently has been mostly farcical. In a certain sense, there is some serenity to be found in the assurance that nothing will change here in the future, that lockdown will be on the horizon here indefinitely. At least you know where you're at. On the other hand, that can swing the other way too, and with it come feelings of desperation and hopelessness. Additionally, the government makes decisions so quickly and capriciously that the small pleasures of life that can be squeezed out of the current situation can be snatched away at any moment, like outdoor exercise, or whether the policeman patrolling the local park will stop turning a blind eye to you taking your kid out to get some sunshine because of a new top-down order he received. All of this takes a heavy toll on the soul. Thank goodness we've been spared the divide and conquer rhetoric regarding vaccines so far. When will this ever end? No one knows, and there is no answer, no stated goal. These truly are terrifying and challenging times, and I have no answers for you. I like in these episodes, in half an hour or so, to present an issue, discuss it, talk about solutions. Like when I had Murray Sabrin on last week and we talked about the American healthcare system. Well, he had some recommendations. We should do this, not that. We should try this instead of that. Right now, I don't know what to tell you other than we should do our best to resist according to our states in life. Remember, too, I don't know how long ago it was, but it's been quite a while. The private discussion group I have called the Tom Woods Show Elite, we used to be on Facebook. Well, with this thing, I mean, people have been urging me to get off Facebook for years, but it was this episode where it became clear that you really can't say what you want to say because it'll contradict Fauci, which means you're going to get censored or, you know, they're going to pull your post or you're going to get banned or whatever. And I just thought, to heck with that. I don't want to police my group. This is stupid. So I moved us onto a platform where there's no censorship. There's no idiot fact-checking you when you're right and they're wrong and then you get fact-checked. It's absurd. We don't have any of that. What we do have are a lot of intelligent, concerned people who have the same principles that you, dear listener, have. And we're just trying to rack our brains and roll up our sleeves and figure out what we should do. What's the next step? So if you feel like, that sounds like something I could use, it's a lifeline to sane people. That's what it is. There are people who write to me that, and they say that their own homes are divided. Husbands and wives are divided over this. They have nobody to talk to. This is a lifeline. These are people you can talk to. And they're smart, and you'll learn a lot from them. And you'll feel like you are tasting just a little morsel of normality when you're in there. So if you'd like to join that, and if you enjoy the Tom Woods Show, of course, you will love the Tom Woods Show Elite. The way to get in there is via supportinglisteners.com. So head to supportinglisteners.com. You like and appreciate what I'm trying my best to do over here. Then I really think of the many benefits I offer people who support the show, you will especially appreciate this one, my uncensored discussion group with some of the best people you'll ever meet. So check that out at supportinglisteners.com, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.